So for tonight's service, it's really, I was really amazed at in both of the messages this morning. This wasn't the main theme, but the reason I was amazed, the Holy Spirit has been having me re-listen again now to the face-to-face messages. You remember those? And they're at the website. They're in readable form, printable form, but they're also there in audio. And I don't know if you know this, but down at the very bottom of that list, it says CD1, CD2, CD3. In other words, you can play them individually, okay, one at a time. But if you're in a car, that's kind of hard to do, you know, because you got to, it's dangerous. Well, what we did, in case people wanted to make CDs out of them, we put them all together, as many as would fit on one CD. But it takes four CDs because they're that long. So what I've been doing is just in my car nowadays, you can Bluetooth it and just play it right through the radio. I just been playing CD1, let her play. You know, it's over an hour long. I think all of them are over an hour long. So if you're not doing that, just know you can. And I'm just letting it roll through me again. And the timing is interesting because the one I was listening to this morning while I was praying is that one where he was teaching me about during that period of time where we were first starting out in ministry, and he gave me a vision. And this vision was had there was boulders there, and the boulders represented things that I had been assigned to do for the kingdom. But from these, from the each boulder, here's Gary. There were these ropes that were tied. Remember, tied to the boulder and tied to me. And he says, "What those represent?" He said, "You've got yourself in a fix because you try to go this way and there's a rope holding you back, and you try and go that way and there's a rope holding you back that direction." He says, "What those ropes, it's not that the boulders aren't things I want done, but what you've done is you've tried to figure out a way to do it yourself." And he says, "It's that's where not by might, not by power, by my spirit, saith the Lord." So he was telling me I had to pray and listen to him, remove my methods, so that he could be free. The boulders need to be done. The things need to be accomplished. But the way we were doing it was the way I could figure it out. And I think that mankind is really bad about that. Hans's message was so spot on with that. And really, so was Alan's. Because the two trees, one path is the way that man can do things, trying to do God's work with man's ability. The other path is let God do his own work through you, and you just stay out of his way. I love the prayer that Hans said today. Help me get out of your way so you can do what you want. Well, that's where we are with revival. So I just thought the timing, I was telling them the two messages this morning, I had just heard that portion again before those services. You got to let go of your methods. Let me do it, but I got to do it my way. Okay. Hallelujah. So, he took me back to one of the early visions. I'm going to pick on Mark. Now, we're going to pick on Mark for a minute. How would Mark's life change if starting in the morning when he wakes up, first thing he sees is Jesus has pulled up a chair right next to his bed? And I mean, he can see him. He can talk to him. And he says, "Mark, I'm going to be with you all day long. You and I are going to go together. Not going to be a moment. You and I aren't going to be together today." And you reckon Mark's life is about to change? you reckon Mark might have a few questions? You think Jesus might have a few questions? Now, Mark, why are you doing this? See, I'm picking on Mark and not me for once, okay? See, if that was really the case, and I mean, the 12 had that privilege of being able to walk and talk with Jesus. What I'm really teaching right now, again, is one of the face-to-face communion with the Holy Spirit. Because he says, if Jesus was manifest with you and walking with you all day long, there would not be any hesitation. If you wanted to ask him a question, you would just turn to him and ask him a question. And he wouldn't have to go off and fast and pray, by the way, for 40 days. Wouldn't he just answer your question? See? And he says, I have sent my spirit to be in your presence for that very purpose. Now, I've had that knowledge for over 20 years, and it's still hard to walk in the manifestation of it, because most of the time when I ask him a question, it seems like the silence is deafening. Okay? Not always. Usually when I hear from him, it's while I'm in the shower, or while I'm driving the car, or while I'm doing something where my mind is not even engaged. And I want him to keep doing that. But he is telling us that there is a, that the purpose for him sending the Holy Spirit, how did he word it? He said, I have sent the Holy Spirit to be in your presence, since you seem to have trouble getting into mine. Now, he just can't even, I'm not that smart. That did not come from Gary. I know that's from the Holy Ghost. But he is wanting to walk with us on that level. Well, see, well, yeah, but when I ask questions, I don't hear nothing. Well, he answered that in one of the earlier ones, which right around that same one where he says this. He said, the reason for that silence is you've not learned to locate the ear of your spirit. And this takes us right back to Pastor Dave's messages on distinguishing God's voice. And I'm telling you, you can get out of practice with that. It's one thing, isn't it, Hans, when the anointing's on you in a service and prophecy comes or tongues and interpretation, it's just so easy. It's nothing to it. But that same person, Hans, later in the day, after the anointing's off of him, that may not be the right way, but when he's not in a service, let me just say it that way, it's a little more difficult. Okay? But I've been back. Let me recommend one other message to you of Pastor Dave. You ought to write this one down. And that's free at the website. And it's in the very first, you know how Dave's, they have the weekly series, but then they have weekly services. Then they have a button called series. You can click on series. Well, the top one is the Walk of the Spirit, the Walk of Power companion series. Okay, that's the very top one. About halfway down in that list, you're going to find a title that goes, it's something close to this, the channel that God speaks through. Might be called locating the channel that God speaks through. I've already heard that three times in the last week. He said it's not really anything different than how he teaches distinguishing God's voice, but how he approaches it is a little different. And there's some details on there that might help somebody. But I've been listening to it again because where we're going, there's not going to be any substitute. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is walking side by side with Mark right now. And he's not doesn't intend for Mark not to get his answers. And he doesn't intend for Mark not to hear the direction of the Lord. Same with all of us. We are going to have to get back into the practice. And I remember what it was like at the ugly building. I remember, you know, early days, trying to locate that place in us where he speaks. It was a long time. But I don't believe it'll take that long now. We've had too much training. We've been at it too long. There's nothing more important. You tell me what's more important than locating the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, where you can hear, where you can get answers to every question, where he can lead you exactly where the Lord wants you to go today. In fact, he gave me three examples of that, so let's look at those. Go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to start at this one first, because it reminds me of the way that... And by the way, the way Hans said that today, I've been trying to say that for a long time, but Hans said it better than I've said it yet. But it's that thing where our minds get so blended, conformed, togethered, whatever adjectives, that when Jesus thinks it, you think it. You think it's your idea, but it's not your idea. But it's just what you do because that's what Jesus does, kind of thing. Now you got to be careful there. You know, I've seen a lot of people run off right there and think every thought that comes in their head is Jesus, and it's not. Okay, it's not. Don't ask me how I know that. Well, trips to the barbershop is how I know that. Okay, I had another one just a couple of weeks ago, right around conference time. I thought I heard the Holy Ghost say I wanted to get a battery for a watch, not this one, but another one. I thought sure I heard the Holy Ghost say, "Well, just go on. You got time to go on down there right now." I went down there. Wouldn't you know it? They were on vacation. My thought, why would the Holy Ghost send me And you know, I remembered, why would God send me to the barbershop? He didn't send you, okay? So it was a good reminder for me that not every thought that comes in my head is the Holy Ghost. Did I say Acts 3? Let's go to Acts 3. Because this one, there's no conversation. We're not given any details. Hang on a minute. I think I can get it faster here this time. Acts chapter 3. Of course, we're going to look at the lame man. Let's look at verse 1. Now, you notice there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in this one. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. Now, say with me, birth defect. Birth defect. See, this is more than a head cold. Okay. Lame from his mother's womb, whom they laid daily. He couldn't even get there. They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he begged to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, okay. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, what was he expecting to receive? Money, right? Alms, okay? But then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Whew. But there's so much we could preach right there. Did he pray for him? Did he command the end result? Did he say it in the name of Jesus? Jesus never told us to go pray for the sick. He told us to go heal the sick. That's exactly what's happening. But now notice there's no mention of the Holy Ghost in this. See, and I got tons of questions still on this one. Because they said they laid that guy there daily. How many times did Jesus walk right past that guy? What, are you telling me Jesus? He never asked Jesus for alms? So I have a ton of questions. See? And I like how Alan said at that time, Jesus, he would walk through villages and sick people were in the houses. He didn't go door to door and heal everybody. But right on the converse, everybody that ever came to him for healing, they got their healing, every single one of them. Well, this one at least did approach. He did say something, you know. He was asked alms, so the door's open. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, see, his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now notice, they didn't receive strength until Peter spoke and acted. Got a hold of the guy. Can you imagine what this guy's legs look like? I think somewhere it says he's about 40 years old, I think. I mean, he's never walked. Had to look like spaghetti legs. And what's your mind going to tell you? Go over there, get a hold of him, raise him up. What's your mind going to tell you? You can't. Or hurt him or something, you know. But it wasn't until Peter spoke and then acted. And then it says immediately. I'm looking for some immediately's. In our services. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And this guy couldn't even walk. Leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew, this whole town knew this guy. He'd been there forever begging. And they knew that it was he that set for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And anyway, so you know the rest of the story. Now, in this one, I thought of this passage when Hans was teaching this morning. Because I do believe we're going to have a lot of that. Where you just know the mind of Christ. Now, if there was an internal dialogue here, we're not told it. You know, I can only go by what's here. This one reminded me of what Han said. All right, now let's look at two others, though, because we can't put God in a box either. So go to Acts chapter 9. And, okay, this is where Paul gets knocked off his high horse, and he falls to the ground. He finds out who Jesus is, and he winds up losing his sight. You know, he's blind for a season. So let's pick it up, though, in verse 10. In fact, read verse 9. It's talking about Saul. He was three days without sight. And he's fasting. Didn't eat or drink. That's really fasting. Now, verse 10. And there was a certain disciple. I love the way it's worded. It doesn't say an apostle. It doesn't say an elder. It doesn't say bishop. It doesn't say anything except disciple. How many disciples we got, you know, here all watching too? This is Joe Public, Mary Wallpaper, disciple. Okay. There was a certain disciple at Damascus. Why does God pick someone in Damascus? That's where Saul was going. that's the town where they took him. So he's, okay, who do we have? Ah, there's Ananias. Okay. Now notice this time, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. All right, now this is a time where there's definitely a separation between Jesus and Ananias, because they're talking together. This isn't one where it's blended, where you just do because you do, you know what Jesus does, and this is what you do. It's Acts 3, but we can't do away with this one in Acts 9, because there's going to be times when the Lord's going to appear to you. He appeared to me one time now, up in Westchester, New York, and Sue and I were up there. We're doing some meetings. I was still smoking at the time. I'd been smoking forever in 3 days. I smoked for eternity in 3 days, okay, as a Christian, which I shouldn't have. Dave told me better. I knew better. I should have done better, but that's another message. But I was still smoking. And that was a nicer motel than Sue and I normally stay in. Somebody else put us there. And it had a little living room area where you could shut the door and Sue could keep sleeping. I just couldn't sleep. I was agitated in my spirit. So I got up, shut the door. I'm in the living room. I'm just praying. Didn't have the TV on, just praying. Don't ask me what Jesus looks like. I don't know how to tell you that. But I know it was him. He was right there. You know, and he began talking to me. And this was 2003. I know it happened to be on my mother's birthday, January 15th, 2003. And the essence of it was this. He just began saying, he said, "Now you know that you're doing good work for me, and you can continue like you are and come to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, I want you to know today and understand that if you don't deal with this thing in the flesh, when you get to heaven, I'm going to have to open a window and show you all the different things that it was my will for you to do, but I never could send you to do it, because they would not receive you as long as you still have this thing in the flesh." He's talking about, I knew he was talking about smoking. I don't think he ever used the word smoking, but I knew what he was talking about. He said, "I'm not going to force you. I'll never force you. But I'm here. I want you to understand there will be loss of reward. Now you can come to heaven." I don't know how to say this. There was not an ounce of condemnation. It was information. He was letting me know something. He said, "But if you'll deal with this, then there's places I can send you, and you won't suffer that loss of reward." And that was pretty much it. He didn't lay his hand on me. He didn't cast out a smoking demon. He just left it up to me. Well, Sue knows. I never had another cigarette after that. And at another time, he had already told me, he says, "I can deliver you without any withdrawals." And he had already done that for me once. He did it with alcohol, so I know he could do it. But he said, "Also know that if I do it by that method, you also will not have the character development that comes with overcoming withdrawals." Well, my body did not like the idea of me quitting smoking at all. Well, it was okay for the first couple hours. After about 2 hours, the negotiations begin. "Well, you know what you need to do is taper off. You know, just, you know, let me go ahead and have one now. I won't bother you again for quite a while. You know, this lion flesh." I said, no. All right, I don't want to teach on that because we've got other things to do here. Anyway, I had to deal with it. Do you know, I didn't know it. I did not know it. That was January of 2003. March, April, May, same year, is when he sent me to South Africa. I did not know in South Africa, the custom there, they don't think a thing about drinking wine as a Christian. They have wine with every meal, sometimes more than one glass, you know. And I'm a teetotaler, and I told him, I said, look, if I was allergic to peanuts, you wouldn't be offering me peanuts. I have a bad reaction to alcohol. I am just way better off without it. It's not a judgment thing. You guys enjoy your wine, but let me enjoy not having it. So that seemed to be okay. So there, the custom, they don't think, you can be a sipping saint. Isn't that how we say it here in South Africa? But I found out there, if you smoke, they will not believe you're even saved. Different cultures, you know. They would not have received, they wouldn't have let me preach, they wouldn't have let me do anything. It happened that quick from January to May of the same year. Now, what they didn't know is I had brought two or three boxes of lozenges with me. I'm still in the withdrawal stage. I'm sucking on those nicotine lozenges like crazy, but I wasn't smoking. I never had another cigarette. Never did. Now, finally, I got past all the withdrawals. Took a long time. Now, I can't believe I ever did it. You know? Anyway. Get me back on track now. I probably stayed on that too long. Yes. The Lord appeared to me. He will appear to you. There was a conversation between two entities. Same way there was a conversation between Ananias and the Lord in that vision. There was a conversation. Well, actually, he did all the talking. I never said nothing. Sometimes when the Lord shows up, you don't need to say nothing. He did all the talking. I don't remember saying a word. But it was definitely two personalities. I mean, two individuals. He is separate from me in that vision. And he is giving me instruction and get lifted up to me. Well, thank God. Well, so the Lord still does that. Well, in Ananias' case, we never did read it. But you know what happens? Look at this. It's just so clear. But see, this is all about how does Jesus appear to you in a vision? It's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that manifests those visions and dreams. Jesus didn't leave heaven to come and visit Ananias. He's still seated at the right hand of the Father. But by the agency of the Holy Spirit, it's like a hologram or something. It's a vision. It can be a dream. But he's just right there suddenly and he's talking with you. So sometimes it's not just a merging of the mind. Sometimes his mind is talking to you. So let's see how specific it is. Acts 9:10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision. Two people, him and the Lord. Ananias. And he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him. Now look at the detail. Arise. We're already in Damascus. Go into the street which is called Straight. Today it might be, go to Harvard, go to Sheridan, okay? Inquire in the house of Judas, find out where Judas lives, go to that house. When you get there, ask for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. Well, I bet he was, 3 days without sight. Verse 12, and hath seen, Saul has seen the other side of this coin. Saul has seen in a vision a man named Ananias. He saw a man named Ananias in a vision coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now, how specific is that? Go to this street. Find that house. Knock on the door. Tell him you want to see Saul of Tarsus. He's in there praying. By the way, he knows you're coming. And he knows your name. Don't you know that was a confirmation to Saul when it's not somebody else, it's Ananias comes in. It's good to obey the Lord, okay? Then, now, sometimes when the Lord gives you instruction, Ananias knew who Saul was. Saul's the guy that arrests believers and sometimes has them killed. Then Ananias answered, you can talk back. Two entities. We got to remember this, though. See, this is all by the Holy Spirit. But then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here, even in Damascus, he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. Lord, if I go there, do you know who this is? Lord, are you sure you know who this is? He might have me arrested. And the Lord said unto him, I love it that the Lord didn't rebuke him for asking. It says, King James, go thy way. I would. The Gary version says, do what I told you. Go thy way. Do what I said. For he is a chosen vessel unto me. And the Lord just volunteers lots of information to Ananias that he didn't have to do. He didn't have to. The Lord's good and gracious. He doesn't always tell us why. He did in this case. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way. Let's say it this way. Ananias did what he was told. And it worked. Of course it worked. He's obeying God. So we need to be constantly in the attitude of, Lord, you can come visit me anytime. My old men, what is it? Anyway, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your handmaidens will prophesy. My old men will dream dreams. My young men will have visions. I'm having both, so I'm somewhere in between. Okay. We got to expect all the time, anytime, these visions. And it doesn't have to be an open vision. Like, you know, you can get these while you're driving the car and not be dangerous while you're driving the car. Because it's like a movie that plays, like you remember in a movie, a scene from Gone with the Wind. It's like that. You can still see, you can still function, but he is conveying information. All right, let's look at one more for tonight, and that is in Acts 16. Because the same Holy Ghost that is doing all of this in the first century, he has not changed at all. The same Holy Spirit Paul had is the same Holy Spirit we have. Same Holy Spirit that generated that vision to Ananias is the same Holy Spirit. See, Dave talks about this. He talks about all of this on that message that I told you earlier. Locating the channel where he speaks. It's about halfway down the list. It's really good. He says, because listen, that once you locate that place in you, he said that is the same place in you where prophecy comes from. It is the same place in you where those visions like that, now an open vision is different, but this kind that come like that, I call them teaching visions or anyway, it's the same place in you. It's different from a pizza dream. Okay? Y'all know what I mean by a pizza dream? Shouldn't have had that third slice. At 10 o'clock, right before you went to bed. Anyway, pizza dream. It's different from just a human dream. Okay? And it comes from that place in you. He said it's the same. And he also said it's the same place where your conscience communicates with you. Now, we all know about that. The conscience, and it's not always English, is it? You don't hear, thou shalt not steal in Charlton Heston's voice. But it sure communicates with you. You know exactly what it's saying. And it's that same place in you where all of that comes from. I really recommend that message. I want to hear it again. I've already heard it three times. I'm going to hear it again. But more important than hearing it is doing it. Because we've got to become expert at this. All right. This is Paul and Silas. They had finished up what they were supposed to do. They didn't really know what to do next. So picking it up in Acts 16:6. Now when they, Paul and Silas, had gone throughout, pardon my pronunciations, Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Now notice, were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Now Asia is pretty broad, okay? But Ephesus especially is mentioned as being a city of Asia. And I bet they were thinking about going there. I don't know for sure. Now later on, by the way, they did go to Asia. They went to Ephesus and spent several years there and did a great work for the Lord. But see, the Lord is alive and well. He's got a timing. There's a timing for everything. Today I want you to do this. Yeah, but you told me we're going to do... Hey, Hans, today I want to go to Africa, Lord. You're going to Africa. But let me arrange it, okay? Right? The timing, it'll be perfect too. See? I loved his man, his daughter. When they told him that you know, about all the restrictions, you can't go and everything. He says, "Well, you think we ought to go?" She said, "Well, I'm going." Come on. You did good raising that girl. Good. Good for her. He said, "Oh, I guess I'll go too." I love it. I love it. I love it so much. All right. That they're forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Why would the Holy Ghost forbid it? Because Jesus forbid it. The Holy Ghost has not come to be our Lord. The Holy Ghost has come to bring us the Lordship of Jesus, the present hour instruction, mind of Christ from Jesus. And it wasn't the mind of the head of the church for Paul and Silas to go to Asia at this time. All right, verse 7. So after they were come to Mysia, they assayed. Now, assayed means like weighing in the balance, like when you're gold, you're weighing gold. They're thinking about whether they should go to Bithynia. They're assaying. Should we do that? Should we not do that? Are we, you know? Now, notice, but the Spirit, and he got it right, capital S, suffered them not. In other words, no. Don't go to Bithynia either. Huh. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And here it is. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. So this is a night vision. Could be a dream. I'm just going to stay with what it says. It's a vision that appeared in the night. I love this one so much. I have meditated this so much. Because I think even I would understand this one. What do you want me to do? Where do you want us to go? What do you want me to do? Mark's asking, what do you want me to do, Lord? What's next? He's asking the Holy Ghost, what do you want me to do? And he, what I want you to do is take a nap. Okay, I can do that, Lord. At night, or he's asleep. And a vision appeared to Mark in the night. And in the vision, there stood a man of Macedonia. Now, I've wondered, did he have a t-shirt on? Did it say Macedonia? You know, did it have the favorite football team of Macedonia, you know, Macedonia Mavericks, you know? I don't know how he knew it was a man of Macedonia, but in this vision, somehow he knew, you know? So there stood a man of Macedonia. That's not good enough, though. Okay, I see the guy, Macedonia. Okay, well, what about it? And prayed him, saying, that means asked him, saying, here you got a vision, a guy from Macedonia, and he's saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. I would nudge Silas. I got it. I'm sure I know what we're supposed to do. We're going to go to... Mark would be going, yes, yes, we're going to Macedonia. Now, was that absolutely the Lord's will? It was absolutely the timing. It's the time. Now, we're out of time already, really, but let me synopsize. I don't know everything about why God wanted him to go to Macedonia, but I know part of it. The end result, that's where they did the will of the Lord. They cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl. They led Lydia's house to the Lord. They were preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They didn't steal from nobody. They didn't do anything wrong, but when he cast the devil out of that fortune-telling girl, that really made them mad. And so they arrested him and beat him and put him into prison. And thank God they weren't like most Christians today, even Gary. They weren't there. Although I can't pass this one up. It says they were in the stocks. Now, I don't know what their stocks were like. All I know of is the kind they have in England, you know, where they put your head through there and your hands. I can just see Paul and Silas, backs bleeding, in the stocks. It's almost midnight. I can just see Silas turning to Paul. Had a vision, did you? Because Silas didn't have it. But thank God it wasn't like that. That's how I would probably react. What did they do? Man, they praised God and sang hymns, and they didn't do it quietly. They did it so loud, it said the whole prison heard them. God not only, he sent an earthquake that opened every cell door, and if you read it, all of their handcuffs, whatever, and chains, whatever, all of those came loose too. Now that church, you know, the jailer got saved. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That church at Macedonia Macedonia is the chief city of Philippi. The Philippian letters, that church became the number one financial supporter of Paul's ministry for the next 15 years. He would even go to Corinth and say, I've robbed other churches so I could minister to you for free. The brethren at Macedonia, time and again, sent. God knows about your finances too. He knows it takes money to operate and do the things He's called us to do. And if we listen to Him, His timing will have us at the right place at the right time doing what we're supposed to be doing. And He'll set you up for the next 15 years. Glory to God, or longer. So I'm just going to encourage you tonight that I think right now we're at that stage again. The most important number one thing that we have got to do right now is become constantly aware of the Spirit's presence. Because you know Him because He's with you, but He shall be in you. This is the shall be time. He is in us. He really is. So I don't know about you. I'm just recommending for myself. I myself am listening to those messages. Who knows? I'm spending a lot of time praying, listening. I'm going to get expert at locate. It's really no different than dialing in on your radio, finding that place in you where the Holy Spirit speaks. And listen, I want to encourage you out there too, because many, I get letters and emails. I've done that, Gary, and I just can't hear His voice. Yeah, you are. Or if you can speak in other tongues, you are hearing Him, because you can't speak in those tongues without picking up the transfer from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. When I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. Yeah, but it's the Spirit giving the utterance. He's creating those syllables, and in you there's a transfer that's happening from Him to your spirit. Right there is where it is. That is where you hear Him. If you can speak in tongues, you're already hearing Him, because you could not speak in tongues if you couldn't. That's encouraging. That's encouraging. Say, well, You just need to practice and practice and do exactly what Dave says on those tapes. I'm doing it again myself. I'm going to fine tune. Listen, you get lots of help from the enemy against this. I'm telling you, I don't think the devil fears anything more than spirit-filled believers that hear and obey the Holy Ghost. I think that's the most dangerous thing to hell that there is. Because if you start obeying the mind of Christ and following the Holy Spirit, where that anointing can really flow, oh, we're going to mess hell up now. Going to become dangerous to the devil now, see. One of the other things that Dave says, he says, peace is a prerequisite for hearing God. Most people have not learned how to receive His peace. So there's always turmoil on the inside. Now, it's not that God can't override it. I have had Him speak to me in an audible voice. Not often, but like twice that I know of for sure. I think if you'd have been there, you'd have heard Him those two times. Don't know. But it was, He can override. But to walk what we're talking about on a daily basis, where you're walking and talking with the Holy Spirit, just as if you were walking and talking with Jesus, that's going to require a level of peace. He said to me this way, my leadership is found in my peace. Okay? So Dave talks about that. Oh, there's another series on that website that you might be interested in. Let's see, what would that be called? Peace, the aggressive weapon of God. It's a good one. All right. Well, praise the Lord. We did pretty good for 45 minutes. I thank You, Lord. I am more convinced than I ever have been in my life. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by my own emotions. I'm not moved by bad reports. We are going to have and be in the middle of the greatest revival that this world has ever seen. We are going to see things that has never been seen before. And it's going to last until Jesus returns, and I don't know how long that is, but however long it is, this one's going to continue. Can I throw in one more commercial? The other thing that He's turning up with me in this season, it may not be with you, you may already be well adept at it, but it's fasting. Fasting is one of the best training tools we have for dealing with your own emotions. When your emotions are crying out and they want to be boss and they want to tell you whether you can go to prayer or not, and they want to tell you whether you can give or not, and they want to tell you whether you can do anything or not, and your emotions is trying to be Lord, fasting is a good way to fight them. He's taken me back again to two other lessons in there. One of them is called The Scourging Post, and the other one is Overcomers in This Age. And he plainly says fasting is like, he didn't use these words, but it's like boot camp. You can initiate a war that's going to stir your emotions up, and you can practice overcoming them in a war that you started. That's not terminal unless you fast too long. Dave says, now don't be doing no 90-day fast. You will mortify the flesh. In fact, we'll bury it. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Through Pastor Bronk, within the last year, he said that the glory, his presence would come, the glory would come in such a measure that we'd have difficulty standing up in the building. We'd have difficulty leaving the building. Yes, how many believe that? I absolutely believe that. But in those lessons, another thing that he says at one place, he said, you will walk in manifested glory, but that requires the transformation to love. That's 1 Corinthians 13. That's the higher walk that Alan's been preaching. No longer just the gifts as we continue to be flesh creatures, but grown up into him, the scripture from this morning, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, no longer like children tossed to and fro by winds of doctrine, but we grow up into him. Grow up into him. Hallelujah. Manifested glory, he said, that requires the transformation to love. Well, that's exactly what he's doing in us. Okay. You know, another thing Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, not only that he would lead us, guide us into all truth, says he'll show you things to come. Years ago, before we had any employees, when it was just me and Sue in the ministry, we didn't even have a website yet. We had email. But in those days, it was cassette tapes, and we didn't even have any high-speed duplicators. It said high-speed duplication on the little, you ever seen one of those dual-well cassette things, the old, big as a boom box, you know, huge thing? And high-speed dubbing meant it will do a 90-minute tape in 45 minutes. That's how we were making our recordings. It's the only thing we had. And everything was by hand. That we didn't have a computer set up at all. We had a ring binder with names and addresses and stuff handwritten, and they would write or email and ask for something. You ought to have seen our living room. Sue and I would sit there with bubble mailers, stacks of tapes that we'd make one at a time like that. Now, not that many. The mailing list wasn't that big in those days. But anyway, it was time-consuming. And what's the next one, baby? Well, it's James and Joe Blow. And they live in Wisconsin. Found the label, little print off, you know, little label. So at first, we just had to handwrite them and put that on there. What do they want? They want one this and one that and two of those over there. Okay, just a minute. I go to the stacks, you know. I'm telling you, that's how we did it. We were doing that one time. Thank God that phase didn't last too long. He sent us help. But right in the middle of doing that, suddenly I saw something that looked like it. Yeah, I'll just get it out of my pocket. I saw something that looked like a stick of gum. I said, I don't know what I'm seeing. But I had one of those, just a little flash. It's those little teaching visions. They come quick. But I saw us, instead of putting these cassette tapes into bubble mailers, I said, we're putting something in there, but it's not cassette tapes. I don't know what. It looks like a stick of gum to me. Y'all ever heard of a thumb drive? Was you at the conference? Jim Martin offered 20 years of his teaching. 20 years of everything the man's taught, and all of the conferences at his church, and all of the messages at the conferences here that he taught. All of them fits on one stick of gum. We have sent these around the world, especially to places that don't have good internet. More and more, it's becoming less of a thing, but we have sent these. I buy them. I get them on sale. We'd load them up. You can put 10, 15, 20 years. You can put Jim Martin's whole Bible college on one of these. You think the Holy Spirit doesn't know what's coming? Isn't that amazing? I don't know how many of these we've sent out around the world. Just loaded up with everything the Lord's ever taught me. Amazing. He knows. Say it with me. The Holy Spirit not only communicates with me, he not only leads me into all truth, he shows me things to come. Things that are good. Things that are bad. And gives me instruction what to do. If I learn to wait on Him. And I am good at waiting on Him. Amen. I recommend the face-to-face to you. I really do. Coming into the season, we're going to have it. God, man. Oh, man. God. Well, it's not my fault. Another thing that I had forgotten was in there, and they came through me. Gosh, if I'd have known he was going to do this, I would have it ready where I could just read it word for word. But you'll find it if you go through there. He says, there's a time of darkness coming upon the earth, and men will have few answers. And the world will not have many answers. And he said, the most valuable commodity on the face of the earth will be the anointing of Almighty God. I think this one is in Becoming Vessels of Light. I think it's the one. Becoming Vessels of Light. There's very few answers. They won't know where to turn. They've tried all of man's ways and it's not working. And the most important, valuable commodity on the face of the planet will be the anointing of Almighty God. And they're going to be looking for light. And they'll find that light in the vessels that I am preparing now. Why do you think He's got us going through the fire? He's purging out the dross so that there's only Jesus remaining. Hans' message and Alan's message fit right in there. All right. Yeah, there might be some dark times coming on the earth, y'all think? Think so. That was 20 years ago when he said that. A little over 20 years ago. I still didn't say it. He told me I still didn't say it. Help me say it, Lord. What he was saying through Alan and Hans both, doing ministry for him is no longer acceptable. And that's not even what Jesus did. Jesus did not go out saying, I'm going to go do ministry in my Father's name. No. He said, no. It is the Father in me. He himself, he is doing the works. So the Lord said it to me one time this way, and this is the season. You wonder why there's no prayer lines? Even during a conference, we didn't have a single prayer line. That wasn't by choice. He's delivering us, I hate to say it this way, but he's delivering us from the show. You're not going to come and be a spectator. You're going to come and he is going to minister through you. He said it this way. I have not, talking to me, now, I have not called you to minister to the people yourself. I have called you to be a vessel through whom I can minister to the people myself. Now there it is. There it is. Everything that he's been teaching us, everything. We've got to start incorporating it now. You should be expecting at any moment for any gift or all of the gifts to flow through you right now. And it doesn't matter how carnal you are. It doesn't matter if you're still, because that's given to the Corinthian church, the most carnal baby church that we in the New Testament. And still they were operating in signs and wonders. You're already qualified. Now that's not the highest walk, but it's where he's told us we're going to start. We've got to have that mindset. Holy Spirit, manifest Christ through me anytime. Whatever you say, that's what I'm going to say. Whatever you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Where you tell me to go, that's where I'm going to go. And when I get there, if you tell me to stick my finger in that person's mouth, I'm going to stick my finger in that person's mouth. If you tell me to spit on their eyes, I'm going to spit on their eyes. You don't have to say all that, but you understand what I'm saying. Obedience. Obedience. That won't happen if we don't change the mindset that we have. He is with me. He's in me. He's in me. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's in me. And Christ in me wants to minister. The Father in Christ wants to minister. No longer am I thinking I am going to go minister in His name, although that's not really wrong to say it, but that's not where He's taken us. That's not where revival is. He's called us to go forth and be vessels through whom He Himself can minister. I said it. That's what he wanted said in this message. Boy, Alan hit a home run. I think it was a week. Might have been 2 weeks ago. He said that sentence. We're trying to give to the world, or I think he said sell. We're trying to deliver to the world the love of God that we really don't have within us to give. Not in the measure. Boy, that hit me like a ton of bricks. And that's exactly, that's a different way of saying it, but that's exactly what Pastor Dave said. Not walking in the true love of, not having, he said our born-again spirit is like a container that can hold the unlimited love of God. But it doesn't start off that way. You've got to receive, I loved how Alan said it too, you can only get that love of God from God. Okay. Do you think Peter was perfect? I don't. Do you think he was perfect on the Acts chapter 3 day when the Lord used him to heal the lame man at the Gate Beautiful? No. But see, here's what Peter said. Silver and gold have we none, such as we have, we give you. Now, we may not be walking in the fullness of the love walk, and this is really what Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, which had tons of problems. All right, you're not there yet. Don't abandon the love walk. He said, pursue love. Go after it. Okay? But he also said, covet the best gifts. So right now we could say, I mean, tomorrow Mike on his job, he may not say it this way, but it's his attitude is, all right, I may not be perfected in love yet. I'll agree with you. Such as I have. What does Mike have? What do we all have, carnal Christians? What do we have? The gifts of the Holy Ghost. We got the Holy Ghost and His gifts on the inside of us. And those, that's why Peter said, why look on us like by our own holiness or anything? No. We may not be walking in the fullness of the love walk yet. I'm sure I'm not. I'm pretty sure you're not. Such as I have. We got to have that attitude. I mean, in the morning, Lord, I'm ready. Any gifts you want to use through me, whatever you want to do today, I'm a candidate, I'm ready. I want you to know I'm ready. And what I mean is I'm available. I'm aware of it. I'm consciously expecting all day, any gift you want to use through me, here I am. We may make it through this, we may not. It's not my fault. All right, everybody, I'm doing it. Can we just pray in the Spirit for a minute? It's a believers' meeting. We didn't pack it up with unbelievers. I don't know what we're doing.
Hans, come on up here.
This is the end of the official calling in the lost service, because Hans is going to listen. I'm not forcing you. Worship the Lord, teach, prophesy, interpret. But I'm passing the torch to you. Okay.
Hallelujah. I'm going to dindero corba hasi di diasta cela. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to say this because I've been sitting back there thinking about something this for a while, and I've shared it with a couple of people. Just this is all brand new. I'm telling you, the Lord's doing something, and I mentioned it this morning about how Dave talked about how your spirit is in your body, cell for cell. Gary has learned how to access a little bit. You have learned how to access a little bit of that spirit, or else you wouldn't be able to speak in tongues, as Gary had said. We wouldn't be able to prophesy to you if we hadn't accessed the spiritual ear to hear the Lord. But what if I could access my spiritual toes, my spiritual back, my spiritual other parts? Would it be possible that in the sickness that we see, we'd be able to access those realms of the Spirit and walk in the fullness of what God has created us to walk in? Would it be possible that healing, is it possible? I'm asking these as questions because this is where I'm at right now. I'm looking at these things. Is it possible that we can reach into the realm of the Spirit and walk in the healing that... walk in the spiritual body that God has created for us, no matter what our body does. So you have liver problems? That's all right. You got a spiritual liver, right? Hallelujah. Rosata basikiti titi andorosa kaya. Sorande la baraste de bostande sondiasieta. Enyandorokus mastende di andasa kuta. He la rasa batinde. Fonda de basa kiti estendo tosta chela. Yes. There's things that are impossible with man. But with me, says the Lord, all things are possible. And you're walking into a time in this body. And you're walking into a time together where the impossible is possible. Not only in the realms of the miraculous and in the realms of natural things, but also in the realms of the way in which you think and perceive and receive information and receive teachings, receive, I believe it's information. We're stepping in as a body to a place where that which has been impossible is now going to become possible. So there's going to be some things that we haven't heard before, things that you haven't done before, says the Lord. And in order to receive the fullness of what I am bringing that the world hasn't seen, first you'll have to do some things that you haven't done. You'll have to hear some things you haven't heard. And you'll have to do some things you haven't done. So prepare yourselves. For this is a season and a time where I'm taking you beyond the limitations of the flesh and into a walk of my spirit where the things that the way that you used to think will be replaced by that which you once thought was impossible. You may begin to question things that you thought were true. And you may come to a place where you feel like you're in a crisis of your faith. But I say, no, it's me stretching you beyond the things that you believed before into a new place where you can believe for things you haven't seen before. Where you can believe for things you haven't experienced in times past. And there will come in this place spiritual evidence. Well, you'll know that I'm teaching you. You'll know that I'm leading you. You'll know that what is happening by my Spirit. And you'll know it collectively because there'll be no doubt. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know exactly what spiritual evidence is, but I do believe that's what I heard. Hallelujah. This is October. I believe it was March. I was praying. The Lord had me go on a fast. It was just really a short fast, not a big deal. But I felt like it was what He was leading me to do. And when I came off of that fast, I heard the Lord saying that you're stepping into another level, or I didn't quite hear the word, but it was like another place in the Spirit. And it was about that same time that as I was ministering here, I kind of felt that same type of instruction. And I believe that we're in a different place than we were then. And I think we're still stepping in that transition. We're in that transition time. But we're stepping into another place in the Spirit. And He's giving us this opportunity now, a grace period, for us to prepare ourselves to receive from Him what he's bringing into this place. Hallelujah. So, Father, we just thank You tonight. Again, Lord, help me to be out of the way so that You do whatever You want to do. help me to stay there. Help us as ministers in this place, whether it be Gary or Alan or Tim or whoever happened that you happen to use. Help us, Lord. Help each one of us, whether we're behind this pulpit or we're sitting in a chair or we're going to the workplace. Help us. Help us, Holy Spirit, to walk in the realm that you have us walk in the the next level that you're bringing us into. Lord, help us to navigate that, to receive it fully, that we might see the things that you've promised us, that we might apprehend that which we have been apprehended by Christ Jesus. We could know you in the power of your resurrection, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Socorro basa talabatala. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Amen. Do you have anything, Gary? Yeah. Hallelujah.
I'll just use it like this. We're about done. Well, since he mentioned this, since the Holy Spirit mentioned, remember Dave, he's talking about when Dave would talk about that fellow that had the glass eye, yet he could take that eye out. They would tape up the good eye, remember? He could see without an eyeball. Because why? God opened his spiritual eye. Prophecy just now, he said something along this line, or right before the prophecy, I think. He says, what about our other organs? Now, Candy Flint, if you go to bronkflint.org, on the homepage, you just scroll down on the homepage, bronkflint.org, you come to a thing called Candy's Healing Testimony. It's right on the homepage, MP3. There, she gives the best description and testimony of anybody I've ever heard, how her back got healed by the life that's in her spiritual spine oozing into her natural spine. Do you think Gary's heard that? Oh, good. Because of my own personal warfare. But she said she knows that that's what happened. And the Lord told her that's what's happening. But I just want to make sure, if you haven't ever heard it, it's an MP3. It's on bronkflint.org, about a third of the way down. And it's called Candy's Healing Testimony MP3. Yes, but it's exactly what he was saying. If your natural liver is given out, you've got a spiritual liver. It's okay, or whatever it is. I've got a spine that is not crooked. And I believe the life, the health that's in that spine is going to ooze into my natural spine. Same, made flesh, the Word made flesh. So I just want to let you all know, since the Holy Spirit mentioned it, that's why we tape it. That sound, that we have a testimony of that. So it's available to you. All right. We're leaving a little. Father, we do lift up Pastor Dave to you. We don't want to forget our beloved pastor. Father, we thank you and praise you that right at this very moment, at any moment, Dave 2.0 can come walking in. Somebody asked me, what does 2.0 mean? Better looking, more funny, and more anointed than ever. Because it's Dave that's spearheading the charge into the revival. Dave has a sound mind. He accurately discerns all things. Dave speaks to his soul every day, and we join with him right now saying, mind, you are sound and healthy. You are not permitted to lose memories. Never. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Dave Roberson is a steward of the mysteries of God. And he remembers every revelation he's ever received from the Lord. And we thank you that all these things are true in Jesus' name. Amen.